John. Thanks, Jock. Jock gave us a bit of an intro as to what he was talking on last week, and he asked us a couple of questions, like, are we history makers, you know? Or are we just a Jesus club? Do we change? Are we doing what Jesus wants us to do? You know, when we get rescued, we don't just go and sit on the boat and go somewhere into an area where, okay, well, now life carries on. We become part of that rescue team. So there's a mission for us. You know, he's got a plan for us. And you notice how Jesus, with his disciples, operated as a team. He had all his disciples that he walked with and discipled and equipped and teach. They didn't when they got saved, they didn't just, okay, well, Jesus, now we know you, now we can just go back to our houses. He equipped them. But then he also, once he's equipped them, he's given them an instruction. In the same way for us, as we've been rescued and we're part of this team, how do we go forward? And the thing I want to talk tonight about is love. And love is such a word that's actually being used very loosely. It's almost like, in some sense, it's lost its value. And I'll take myself as an example. When I just met my wife, within the first week, I said, I love you. Because I'm like, this is the bokkie for me. And she turned to me and said, how can you love me? You only know me a week. So I had to work at it. Wasn't easy. But yeah, I've anchored her down for 32 years, so it's good. And tonight I just want to refer back to a passage in Scripture, but just to set a bit of context. From John 13 to John 15, and we don't have to put the Scripture up yet. But it's where Jesus is sitting with his disciples, and it's the Last Supper. You know his time has come. He's going to be crucified for us. And the one who betrayed him is sitting at the same table as him, eating with him. And yet, he go into a place where he actually, into a position where he washes their feet. And it's such a humbly place. But it's a demonstration. Even in his last couple of hours on earth, he's demonstrating as to how we should love. He shows true love out of a place of humility. You know, he sits in the position of authority, but yet he's washing his disciples' feet. Can I get John 13, verse 34 to 35? And when it's all done, this is what he says to his disciples. A new commandment I give to you, that you love one another just as I have loved you. You're also to love one another. By this, all people will know that you are my disciples, if you have love for one another. And even in the Bible, love comes up quite often, and we all know the, even back in the Old Testament, Leviticus, you need to love your neighbor as yourself. And that's what he's calling us to hear to is a different type of love. That's why I say the word love is almost thrown around lightly. How many of us here really do love our neighbors? I think there might be a couple of us who's actually currently got some quarrels with our neighbors. But the love he's referring to is a sacrificial love. It's a humble love. It's forgiving. And it's enduring. But the thing that stands out in this scripture for me is in verse 35, where he says, "By this all people will know that you are my disciples." Are our lives resembling Jesus? The way we respond, the way we act, the way we love, the way we do business, the way we conduct ourselves. Love isn't just an emotion. It's an act of obedience. And by loving like he loved, we're representing God to the others, to our fellow believers. And it also takes us into a deeper experience of God. The thing is, it's not our standard of love. It's his standard. You know, when his disciples, and I just want to go back to what it says, by this, the way we love, he didn't say to his disciples, well, if you want to represent me well, you need to dress like me or look like me. And there's a danger for us in the church sometimes because we've got this look about us. Yes, this guy's a Christian. I can see the way he acts or the way he dresses. You know, every Sunday he goes to church. When I visit him, there's always a Bible lying on his bedside table. It's that look. But the standard of love that he's referring to is, it's not an outward appearance. It's what's inside. It's what's inside of your heart. It's what pours out of you. What are the fruits of the Spirit? Love, peace, joy, happiness. Are we producing fruit? And I know we've heard this before, but I really, as we start the new year, as we worship this morning or this evening, as we're jumping up and down, as we're excited, are we producing fruit? I love when we started with this song of, like a deer pants for water, so my soul longs for you. Is your soul longing for him? And I don't want this to come across as a heavy word, but it's the truth. It's how we should love, how we represent him. Otherwise, we're just fooling ourselves. False appearances only leads to death. Really. Doesn't give you life. Only short term. My wife is giving me hand signals. I've asked her to keep me on track with time, and she's totally used the wrong signal there. So I don't know what this is or this is, but I assume I've got 10 minutes left. Thank you. That's why I chose her. No. We need to bear good fruit. I love, you know, we talk about outward appearances. Now, Merv did a beautiful preach in Newport last week, and he referred to the fig tree. And Jesus and his disciples were on their way to Jerusalem, and they were ministering, and it was a long day, and he was hungry, and he was walking, and he saw the fig tree, and the fig tree was covered in leaves. And his immediate assumption was, because it's covered in leaves, there's going to be fruit. And he got there and there was no fruit. And he cursed the fig tree. And yes, you can go into scripture and some say, oh, but it was out of season or whatever. But the point I want to make is it had an outward appearance that it's bearing fruit. So for us, what is our outward appearance? Is it true? Are we bearing fruit? Or are we just a tree with leaves on it? What I love about, you know, he says to his disciples, go and love like I have loved you. And the thing with his love is his love transforms us. It does not leave us as we are. 2 Corinthians 3, verse 18. And we all, with unveiled face, beholding the glory of the Lord, are being transformed into the same image from one degree of glory to another. We're being transformed daily. We can't sit here and start the year off the same way we started last year. Really, we can't. Because then you've wasted a year. You know, and his love transforms us, and it starts from the day of salvation. That day when I lift my hand and I say, Jesus, I acknowledge you. God, I acknowledge you as my Lord and Savior. The veil is lifted. And from that day, right up into eternity, we're being transformed. We don't stay the same. Our heart's desire should not be to stay the same. Our heart's desire should be to, oh, Jesus, I want to be more like you. I want to love like you. And the reality is we in church, we're all people. We're all in a process of transformation. We're all in different places. Some are a lot further than others. But the goal is to become more like him. You know, if God is not changing me or us, are we actually with him? And it's a question we need to ask ourselves. God, I want to be with you, Lord. What do I need to do? Come, Lord. My heart should be, Lord, come and transform me. Come and shape me. Come and mold me. A couple of years ago, well, many years ago, about 15 years ago, we just joined Josh Jen. We're in the church for a year or so, and we become community leaders, and there was a process, and God's working with us, and all of a sudden, you think you get to that stage, okay, I've got this covered, I know how to do church, and then my elder phoned me and said, listen. At that time, Josh Jen was looking at a house called Barlinka House, and they were looking after a lot of people that they took in from the streets. And my elder phoned me and said, listen, I've allocated one guy to you. You need to take him out of the house every Monday so we can give Ian and Tess, who were running the house at the time, some rest, and it's your responsibility. You need to look after him, take him out, spend some time with him, and he's only allowed to go back at 10 o'clock at night. Great, I can do that. Go to pick up the gentleman. I haven't met him before. I get there, and no disrespect to old people. I'm old myself, but it was a gentleman who was a lot older than me at the time. I was still young and fresh, and you know, but he was a gentleman who had a hard life, ex-policeman. Yeah, and we had totally different personalities, and we just, yes, man. Have you ever met guys, or sometimes you meet people and you just, your personalities are different and it's not easy to connect. And he was one of those guys. And the first night, first Monday night was absolutely terrible. We didn't know what to say to one another. And I'm like, Lord, how am I going to do this? How am I going to spend every Monday night with this guy? And the first thing he said to me when he met me, he said, "Jy's 'n jong mannetjie, you're not going to tell me anything." I'm like, okay, that's a good start. But you know what? Over the years, we've become friends. He's taught me valuable lessons, and God has shaped me and molded me in that process. You know, Jock is talking about, we're living stones. And it's not nice to be shaped and molded, but it's part of God's plan. Those difficult situations, when you're with people who you don't really want to be with, we need to value those times. So then how do we love? How do we love like He loved us? You know, sacrificial love, yes, we can't go and sacrifice ourselves, but it's like, you know, we give of our time, our finances. I love how we, for the noon. And God is already doing that in us, but He's called us to a greater level. And just to see how people has given. We love humbly. We serve others when they least expect it. You know, when we set up a meeting, things like that, and you see there's not enough people to assist, without being asked, we go and we assist and we come alongside. We love forgivingly. We don't hold grudges. And as I said, we're all part of this body. And there's going to be times where people are going to offend you. And I doubt if it's intentionally. But we forgive. And lastly, our love is enduring. There will be challenges in our relationships. It's not always going to be easy. Husbands, love your wives. You're going to say, I've heard that before. But love unconditionally. Not for what you can get out of it. Let's be patient and kind with one another. In essence, God's plan is a family united in love, reflecting the Trinity perfect love. When we love like Christ, selfless, unconditionally, God's invisible love becomes visible. We can maybe have Mike come up. Where's Mike? Sorry. You're hiding from me. And we've had a response tonight. But I still want to just keep that door open. Because the thing with God's love is he loved us first, even while we were still sinners, even while we were lost and broken. And His love is unconditionally. He didn't love us for what we have, what we can give Him. All of us, if we can just take a moment, just to settle our hearts. And Lord, am I reflecting You? Have I bared any fruit? So as I said, we had a response. I want to create another opportunity, no pressure. But if you feel like, God, I realize that you loved me first. You paid a price for me. And today is the day where I want to make that decision to follow you. To be part of your team. Then just raise your hand. Can I ask us to stand, please? And for the rest of us, who is that person that I need to love unconditionally? Where I've maybe dropped the ball. Where I've given up on. Are we loving proactively? What relationship do we or you need to change your vocabulary on? Because Jesus' love speaks life. In what relationship have you not spoken life?